Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis. Ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. I don't know where you are. Well, first of all, this is Sybil Brunchen. It's Mummy, and I'm coming to you live, can you imagine, on Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio network, and we're on Blog Talk Radio Network live right now. We're broadcasting not only across the country, but actually all around the world. We're in all 24 time zones, and we are thrilled to be here, as we always are on a Monday night. I don't know where you are, but in the suburbs of Philadelphia today, we have 20-degree weather and snow, so we are freezing here. What is it, honey?
It's chilly here a little bit, but it goes up during the day, and it's just, as Mother would say, pneumonia weather.
All right, before we go any farther, I'd better introduce who that was who came in, just in case nobody knows, the new listeners. That is our wonderful sponsor and our muse and our founder and our head producer. She's our Louis B. Mayer. That's Gwendolyn Holdenberry, and she's coming to you from Port St. Lucie, and Mummy is coming to you from just outside of Philadelphia along the main line. What I was about to say was that we may be chilly up here, and poor Gwendolyn, she's complaining because it's 58 down there in Florida. But we literally are 24 degrees outside with a wind chill of 6 or something. I mean, it's just devastating. But everyone is aflame because, of course, above and beyond the Ukrainian situation and new COVID alerts in China, China is shutting down again completely over their new COVID variant.
Yeah.
We had the Oscars last night. And we're going to discuss that, but we're not – before you tune out, folks, before you turn us off and say, oh, dear God, I heard about the Oscars, or I saw the Oscars, or I don't watch the Oscars, or blah, 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 blah. I want you to stick with us for a little bit, because we're going to discuss not necessarily the Oscars themselves or the incidents, the capital I incidents, but we're going to discuss what things mean. And what metaphors there are around us, and what similes, and what bigger pictures there are in the small postcards that we get mailed in the headlines. You get a postcard that says so-and-so slapped so-and-so, so-and-so stepped on so-and-so's toe. But let's not focus on the postcard. Let's focus on the huge, huge wall-sized mural, the Michelangelo fresco of the issue and what it represents, what things mean, and what our responsibility is to those meanings, especially whether we're black or white or male or female or straight or gay or red or blue or green or Chinese or Indian or Native American or millionaire or streetwalker or pauper. What is our responsibility to the incidents that swirl around us and our participation in them? That's what I want to talk about tonight with Gwendolyn and with any of you who would like to call in tonight. And our number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. I want to remind you that this is Come Now, Don't Sulk. We're on every Monday night. And our sponsor tonight and always is daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Thank you. Gwendolyn, before we get into our subject and before we start taking calls, Gwendolyn, of course, is the founder of DaughtersofIsis.com, and she is their head chemist and fragrant theologist, and she takes her amazing concoctions and weaves spells for us that are not only olfactory stimulating, but are also philosophical and metaphysical and emotional stimulating. And I just wondered, well, I wanted to ask you, now that it's spring, do you have a fragrance that we should be looking at online that might be one that we would like to acquire? But with our setback here with winter again, or with the Ukrainian situation boiling over, or with the controversy like the Oscars, maybe you've adjusted your fragrance menu for tonight. What do you think would be a neat thing for us to look at?
Well, I would recommend Ganesh, my my Ganesh blend. It's a mister. Okay. And the Pope of Sananatha Dharma, the God of Wisdom. He's the one who removes the blockage in the roads by bringing us up to an awareness of what we're doing wrong. he's the elephant-headed God, who is always in a pretty good mood, brings you into sweet space. This is a blend that is extraordinarily spring-like because it has some lovely blue tansy as one of its middle notes, bringing up the lang lang, and it has a bass note of sweet marjoram with some sandalwood. It's a really nice blend, and it's like one of those scents that just puts you in a better mood, shifts you when you need shifting, removing the blockage from around you. So
great.
I would go with Ganesha.
Okay. So tonight, if you, during our program, first of all, feel free during our program to go on your laptops and go to Daughters of Isis, that's ISIS, of course, daughtersofisis.com, and check out all the amazing products they have. They have incredible numbers and variations on the essential oils that Gwendolyn uses and mixes, and she's got an amazing array of things there. And so Ganesh is the scent of the evening, and Ganesh, of course, as a Hindu god, is a beautiful image, a happy, jolly elephant, always with his trunk raised up in the air. He's wonderful, and it's a wonderful image. So that is a perfect fragrance for tonight. Okay, I want to read something very quickly. On Facebook, first of all, I've been listening to all sides of the discussion about the slap, and I was fascinated to spend, first of all, at 7 o'clock this morning, I turned on the television, and the first thing I went to was, it happened to be on NBC, and I saw the Today Show, and the Today Show covered it in a kind of infotainment way, the way the Today Show does. You have Al Roker and, you know, whoever, and they were sort of jolly, Hoda Kotb, you know, chuckling through it, talking over each other, and, you know, wedging it between a fashion spread on, you know, Lycra and a recipe for chicken noodle soup or something. I mean, so I immediately went to MSNBC. I was fascinated to see how MSNBC dealt with it because they are being left of center. Certainly not extremist. Scarborough was a Republican for years and is a lapsed Republican, as many of his panelists are, because they couldn't deal with George Bush, and then they especially couldn't deal with Donald Trump. So they have lapsed, as has Karl Rove, miraculously, and Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney. I mean, there's all sorts of people on the right. The Cheneys, of course, served Satan for years and then have somehow washed their hands of that. I mean, I always thought of Liz Cheney as the daughter of Satan, and her father was Lucifer himself. I don't know how. It's an astounding evolution for them to be turning their backs on Trump and everything. But anyway, back to the MSNBC coverage. I expected them to be gentle and patient with Will Smith and what he did, and more congenial and more, allowing. And I was stunned that Mika was incredibly firm about how she felt about him and the wrongness of it. And she was very quick to point out that Jada Pinkett Smith, for instance, is a powerful enough woman and self-evolved and assertive enough to defend herself, and she doesn't need a man to wade into a barroom and defend, quote unquote, her honor. And then the talking heads all agreed in variations on that. The other thing I did was I went to Fox, of course, because I always try to listen to both sides of an argument. I was amazed. The Fox commentators were not as pejorative as they could have been. I expected them to be like throwing up their hands and saying, you know, basically, well, see, that's what you get. That's what you get with that kind of person. And they did not. They were not at all into it. But they spoke, as surprisingly, rational, educated white people, as opposed to the usual, you know, bin of deplorables that's over there. Anyway, I want to read you something because people posted many things, but this was fascinating. Philippe Rose posted to my friend, the great caricaturist and artist Robert Rizko, a post that he had gotten from a person named Charles Kroger. So Philippe Rose said, you know, Robert, I want you to see what this friend of mine wrote. Charles Kroger wrote this to me, and here goes. It's a little surprising more people aren't outraged about Will Smith's behavior. Imagine if instead of being a rich, well-known actor, Will Smith was just a regular dude who walked on stage and punched Chris Rock. I doubt he'd be allowed to stay at the ceremony. Now imagine Chris Rock was a woman, or that Will Smith was white. Either way, Will Smith would likely never work again as an actor, ever again. Interesting that he said that, right? Now imagine if Chris Rock was a woman and Will Smith had punched her, or if Will Smith was white and had punched Chris Rock as a black comedian. Either way, Will Smith would likely never work as an actor again. What does it say that we're willing to shrug off an act of public violence because both participants were men of the same race? One of the hallmarks of being an adult, and something we are rapidly losing, is that adults rule their emotions, not vice versa. I'm going to repeat that. Adults rule their emotions don't rule adults, ideally. And he's saying that's where we're losing that. People can and will say all manner of silly, unkind, and irrational nonsense, but it's just words. What they say is about them. How we react is about us. Will Smith is not an avenging hero defending his wife's honor like a medieval knight. He's a child reacting to childish humor in a childish way and setting a terrible example for every child watching. Will Smith was insulated from justice because he's wealthy and famous. He was allowed to stay at the ceremony because other wealthy and famous people needed him to accept an award. And the rest of the world is silent because the noble claims of eschewing violence and everyone being equal aren't anything we actually believe in. Grow up, Will Smith. Be a man and apologize to Chris Rock for being violent. Maybe Chris Rock will apologize to your wife. Maybe not. Sometimes being an adult has nothing to do with reciprocity. Now, that was Charles as a man. This was written by a woman from Beatrice LaMonica, and I want to thank both Charles and Philippe and Beatrice and Robert. Beatrice LaMonica wrote this. Since when does Jada or any woman need a self-absorbed, macho male defending her in any way and by violence? It's abhorrent. Then, to do a gloss over by claiming to be designated a protector and listing the stars of the movie amongst those he protected, does Will Smith think he is Mr. Williams? I want to repeat that. Does Will Smith think he is Mr. Williams, the character in the movie? He should be apologizing to Chris Rock and Jada. If anyone wanted to challenge Chris Rock in the moment, it should have been Jada. Personally, I don't want anyone speaking for me or acting on my behalf. And since I support nonviolence, if any supposed quote-unquote advocate of mine punched someone, I would be hard-pressed to trust that person again. This showed none of the love and peace Will professed in his speech. It was a cover-up for his actions, using the tears he learned to bring to the surface in acting school. I'm telling you, and this is the tip of the iceberg of the articulate, amazing things that people were posting who are not on MSNBC or Fox or NBC or the internet or whatever, or the networks. There were observations people were making that were shocking, and they were very articulate. I want to throw it to you, Gwen. You know, what do you think? Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I was watching, and I thought at first, as probably most of us did, that there was some kind of pre-planned joke going on, and then I realized in a split second there wasn't. And I'll tell you what, as who I am in my felt sense of things, I immediately recognized that there was something very wrong between Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I want
something
you to repeat
very
that.
Wrong.
Yeah, repeat the whole sentence, because someone in my life came out immediately with that, as he said the exact same thing, that this there's something going on that's very much bigger than what we saw. Go ahead, say it again, and then go on.
Yes, I absolutely think, and this was my felt sense in the moment, and it was obvious to me when the cameras did swing over back to the Smiths. The whole, as everything unfolded, there's something very wrong there between the two of them. And that's what I also gave some measure to the point that Will Smith was sitting there under the nerves of being nominated for a Best Actor Oscar, which he ended up getting. I also noticed something else that the camera showed, too. And my felt sense of it was that the Williams family were shocked, too, and not very happy. I don't think that they probably really approved. But,
right.
Yeah.
And,
my
well, by the way, you heard that Richard, you heard that Richard Williams did not approve.
Oh, well,
did
no,
you hear
I
that?
I haven't been, no, I haven't been that up on it all day or anything.
Right.
No.
He did not approve.
I just, you know, I've watched the Oscars since I was a kid. I watched it with my mom when I was young, and I've always watched it because I enjoy the story, you know, the stories, the movies, the wonderful art produced. And I have watched Billy Crystal, Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, name a comedian, Milton fucking Berle. Come out on that stage and throw banter off like Chris Rock was doing to everybody and anything. And much diving much deeper than Chris Rock's remarks about G.I. Jane, too. And I thought the camera focused on Jada. And she rolled her eyes with disapproval, whereas almost every time, I can't even remember an actor or an actress, or let's just say what they are, actors, I never had seen an actor pull a face like that. The only one I could think of that would be anything close to that was what's his name, sending the Native American in to pick up his Oscar. Marlon Brando, he was someone who would, you know, play out his emotions. But I've never seen anybody respond, knowing they're on camera, and she knew she was on camera, to respond like that. And no, and my felt sense of the whole thing was that there was something there between Mr. and Mrs. Smith that had nothing to do with Mr. Rock or even the moment that Mr. Smith, Will Smith, was waiting for with the Oscar nominations.
Right.
There's a whole other something going on there. And really, in Oscar, when Oscar's running every year, there's always a few moments that grab at you because they do the memorials and
yeah,
they give out awards to people. And, you know, frankly, I'm a student of Joe Campbell's, and the hero's journey is one that's very important to me, who I am and the path I've created for myself and my life and what I work with and write with, and the story of the hero and the actors and musicians that are in our limelight represent the archetypes that we now
right.
look to as
right.
role models. And last night, Mr. Smith, who I really wouldn't have expected out of him, to be honest, because from what I have gathered, Will Smith is a good guy. And the only thing I can think of that would spur him into an action like that was to double down on, see, I give a shit. I care about you. You're more important. It's not all about me. That's what I read. That was my felt sense. And there's
right.
something there that's ticking it between him and Mrs. Smith. And then
right.
afterwards, I did see this. There was a video of the two of them backstage at the Oscars after all of this had happened. And the beginning of it was just the standard photo op between a husband and wife actors. And then all of a sudden they're both making all these awful faces, like, you know, type of thing. I thought that was incredibly bad taste too. I thought that
right.
was really not seeing the moment.
Right.
So
I a couple of observations
I
want to make. Right, a couple of observations I want to make on your observations. One was that, first of all, Jada Pinkett Smith was in a breathtaking gown. She's physically beautiful. She was on the red
yeah.
carpet. She was ranked as one of the top beauties of the night. People have never zeroed in on her alopecia being an issue with her buzzed head. She has a perfectly shaped skull. She's laughably beautiful. She's
yeah.
one of those people that's so physically beautiful you point and laugh because there's no – what response can you have? It's just – she's ridiculous. She's so great. And so for her to be insecure, and I'm using that in quotes, about her physicality or whatever is absurd. It also is a bit narcissistic for her to assume, or anyone, that her alopecia is common knowledge and that all of Hollywood knows and cares about her alopecia. Chris Rock may not
right.
have known about that. But even if he did...
I said that.
Okay, yes. Even if he did know it, he did not mock her for that. What he said was, and Jada's looking great tonight, as G.I. Jane 2, the sequel. Now, G.I. Jane, for anyone who can think about it, is a movie that's 20 years ago or whatever, and it was about a woman in the military who had to buzz her head and was still physically absurdly beautiful. She wasn't played by, you know, an ugly actress. It was Demi Moore. And she was, the whole thing was that she was this military person who was physically gorgeous. And so Jada Pinkett Smith would be that Chris Rock was saying, oh, and look, here's Jada Pinkett Smith. And she's in this 400-pound green, wonderful evening gown the size of Rhode Island. And she's sitting there looking beautiful. And he's saying, oh, and she's come, you know, as G.I. Jane too. Okay.
Right.
There's nothing – Jada Pinkett Smith didn't lose her hair to cancer and radiation and chemotherapy. And Chris Rock wasn't riffing on a woman who was suffering through cancer, who'd lost her hair through – there's no baggage to this. It was just that. It was just – and even if he – okay, and this is where I'm really going to draw the line. Even if he was stupid enough to joke about something like that And knowing that she had cancer, knowing that she had gone through chemo, knowing that she was recovering, knowing blah, 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 and he joked that. Okay. So at what point do we stride up on a stage and slap someone in the face?
No, that's
when
that's
most of the
never,
comedy of the
never.
Night is. I'm sorry, you go ahead.
It's never okay. And mind you, a woman is telling you that who has actually thrown a drink in somebody's face at a bar rail. I mean, I realize that that is a classless thing to do, unless you've got no other choice. But that was the wrong place, the wrong time. And it's always wrong to physically assault anybody.
And that what I was going to say was, yeah, that so he did that, and that opens a can of worms because, again, back to what if one of them was white, one of them was a woman, one of them was this, what if it was two white guys, what if it was two women, on and on.
Right.
What it does is it opens the door for chaos. And so now we'll have people. I want to hit a couple of points here. Now we'll have people thinking that it's okay at a comedy club in Butt Poke, Idaho. You know, well, Will Smith went up there, and I don't like that joke, and I'm going to go up there and punch the guy who just told a joke about blah, blah, blah. It opens the doors to chaos, first of all. Secondly, and I'm going to be very unpopular for saying this, for those of us that are in minorities, for those of us that are not straight, white, born-agains, gun-toters, KKKers, masked, I put it in my essay on my page. It has opened the door. That incident between two black millionaires from Hollywood, this is what it is. The price of all of this mess is that it has become a joyful, rallying justification for red state, flat worlders, vax resistors, climate deniers, science haters, mask rejectors, January 6ers, QAnon bigots, and Trump thugs to hate anyone who isn't a straight, white, Bible-thumping, family values, right-to-life, law and order, right-wing gun fetishist. You know that in Donald Trump's living room, they were doing cartwheels over the fact that Hollywood's leftist elite, communist movie stars, black, and I won't use the N-word, but you know that that's in their – that was how what they did, that – monkeys had jumped around on stage. That's what they went to. That is where they were justified. They justified their horrible bigotry. And what it did also, and shame on Will Smith, it tipped borderline voters. There are people in the middle who saw that and said, oh, you know, maybe Black Lives Matter really is just a bunch of people rioting and getting free TVs. It makes that crowd comfortable in their behavior, in their bigotry. And that is there's an old expression. Let me just finish. There's an old expression. It's more important to win the war than the battle. You can lose a battle, but you don't want to lose the war. And we on the left and in the center left cannot afford to lose the war because of this kind of nonsense. This legitimizes the behavior on the right and their thinking and their bigotries and their actions. This makes them think that we are, that gays and lesbians are child molesters, that black people are slum people. And it's shocking because Will Smith is a millionaire. A gazillionaire. So they even go farther because what they say is, you see, you can't take the slum even out of them when they're millionaires. He's a millionaire and he still behaves like that.
But the really the really tragic part about it is that Will Smith, his behavior has always been nothing less than a gentleman, and he advocates for so many really beautiful causes, especially
trans.
Yes, but
Gwendolyn, I agree with you. I agree with you. That's what I'm saying, that this is this is not. I know what I'm trying to say. You hear black people all the time. You hear actresses, you hear scientists, you hear black people say, my mother said that I was going to have to study even harder and make sure that my grades were even better and everything, and I was going to have to do my job better because I had to always rise even above my equals when they were white. I had to do more because of my race. And what I'm saying is that, sadly, there is no room. Okay, as a gay person, there is no room for a John Wayne Gacy. There is no room for a Jeffrey Dahmer. We can't have gay serial killers going around and killing and eating children in middle-class neighborhoods in the Midwest. It immediately dooms everyone because the headlines year after year when John Wayne Gacy was doing what he was doing and then when Jeffrey Dahmer was discovered was, see, they're all a bunch of perverts. That's what they do. They're all about that. When, in fact, Ted Bundy was straight. You know, you could name dozens of straight serial killers and white ones, right? But no, Jeffrey Dahmer, there you go. That's what gays do. That's what gays do. So here's one of the most powerful black entertainers, and I personally – I'm heartbroken because I never liked Will Smith on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. To me, he was like Sean Penn. He was those actors, those goofy teenage, smart ass actors, they're on TV and sitcoms and real low life and whatever, it was very low entertainment to me. And then every once in a while, one of them begins to, having not come from an Al Pacino background or whatever, or a Leonardo DiCaprio background, they begin to change and become, they start to get movies and they start to tell stories that are beautiful and they start to do movies that are more significant. Instead of Independence Day, they begin to do Happiness. Or you know what I mean? When you look at Will Smith's arc, the movies he's been doing have been like, oh my goodness.
Right.
And now to have come up with this meant that he was arriving as a statesman now. He's an older man. He's not a teenager smartass anymore with too many big bling chains around his neck and goofing around in Beverly Hills. He's this person who's going into his 30s. He has a grown son. He does responsible things and better things. My grandmother said when I was little, be careful. It takes 10 years to build a beautiful reputation. It takes 10 seconds to ruin it. How smart she was. You ruin your reputation now in 10 microseconds. And by the way, when she taught me that, your reputation was in the newspaper and then it was thrown away wrapping a dead fish for the garbage. It didn't live. This film clip will live in the internet forever. He will always have an asterisk after his name, even if they don't take the Oscar away from him. You can't believe half the people that posted today who were against him said that he should have been ejected from the ceremony, that he should be ejected from Screen Actors Guild. He should lose his Oscar. And then some people, and there was one very articulate one, said if it had been a stagehand who did that, back to the money. And this is where my bigotry comes from. I have a prejudice against people with money misbehaving. So I admit my own prejudices. I'm not a black white person. I'm more of a bigot against people who are stupid, who have privilege. They have the privilege to get away with being stupid and proud of it. I hate that. That is where I'm a bigot. Okay, so that's why I hate Donald Trump. I hate people who are willfully stupid and have the privilege to get away with it. He has had all the options and privileges of a white, wealthy man, and he is a willfully stupid and proud of it person. and he uses his power to be stupid and to promote stupidity. He is filth. So I just want to say that Will Smith did this. He had money. If it had been a stagehand who had done that, black, white, gay, whatever, straight, if a stagehand had strode out on stage, looked at Chris Rock and punched him in the face because Chris Rock had made some joke about something that touched a nerve with him, he would be out. He wouldn't have just been ejected by security. He would have immediately probably been arrested. He definitely would have been. There would have been a complaint filed. And he would have immediately have been ejected from the union. So a bunch of blue-collar working men would have had him out of the union, and he would never work again in the industry. But Will Smith is the star. Yes, we have a couple of callers. Let's bring them in.
Okay. Bring one in.
I'll introduce the first one, our main panelist. Let me introduce Wayne. I'm sure Wayne Johnson is there. Wayne, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
And I love your summation thought and your concluding statement of what you've just passed on. That is so accurate, so brilliant. Thank you.
Well, I try. I think I'm too verbose, and I think I don't often get to the point as articulately or as beautifully as I would like to, but I felt strongly about that, and I am definitely like an equal, I believe, forget it. I'm not going to say anymore. Wayne, let me introduce the other callers. Go ahead, Gwen. Who else do we have calling in?
I'm not sure. 408 area code.
Yes, that's me. That's me.
Ah, who's this? Who are you speaking to?
This is Craig. How you doing?
Craig, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm definitely doing better than most, worse than a few. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. So we're discussing, of course, I mean, with the world ending in the Ukraine, and this is or in Ukraine, I'm sorry I put the in there, you know, we've got huge issues all over the world. But, you know, this one is not in the scope of the terrible things in the world. This is not that important except for what it symbolizes. Did you see the Oscars last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I'll have to take a look at that. Thank you for mentioning it.
Oh, so, well, what we were discussing was the issue of, you know, what happens when people make a public spectacle like that on stage. So what were you calling in for?
Well, I was thinking that maybe perhaps, I'm not trying to be rude or anything, that you perhaps are ignorant of some things that you weren't aware of, and maybe perhaps you would be willing to acknowledge that you may have some ignorance.
Uh-huh. As to what?
As to what comes out of your mouth.
Okay, yes, but you're calling in what specifically?
Okay, so here you are, and you're saying all this stuff, right, about what you think about Will Smith. Is that who we're talking about, who you were talking about?
Yeah, but you said you didn't even see the Oscars and you didn't see what happened.
I know, but I know,
right?
But I know other things that maybe perhaps you don't understand, and that's the problem, that you maybe don't understand some things, and that's what I want to get down to, the ignorance. And if you don't want to...
Okay, well, then please... No, you're... Okay. I'm asking you what those things are, and you aren't saying them.
Okay,
so
well, you
please
you
educate us, okay?
But you come across as judgmental, and that's not the way to approach it, because when someone makes a mistake, those mistakes that they make when they were younger, they turn into wisdom for their age, and you try to disqualify people, and that becomes qualifications for these people to do what they're doing, and you're trying to disqualify them. So what is your grounds for disqualification?
Well, I don't think you... First of all, you don't know what happens, so discussing the fact that he slapped a black...
Excuse me, you're the one that's approaching this this whole thing, so what is your... Well, I'm asking you.
Well,
I'm,
well,
I'm just as disqualifying, and the fact is that this is someone
well,
who has
you must
put
not
up
be able to see
as
yourself,
symbol,
is what the problem is.
As symbol, excuse me, may I finish my sentence?
Sure.
As someone who was on international television, who is supposed to be a role model, not just
okay.
for his gender, but for
okay.
everything he encompasses and embodies as who he puts himself
excuse
a professor
excuse
to be.
Me, excuse me, excuse me.
No, let her finish. You had your say. Let her finish.
Well, I am finished. He's a role model. And he was making a international public scene. And that's the idea of what we are discussing right now. Are these role models? What are these role models doing? And quite rightly, in my opinion, Sybil went into discussing the role models that have created such division that we face at this time.
If you could understand what religion is, then you would be able to see what separates man from his future. Because man has
okay.
a bright future.
Thank you so much for calling, Craig. We're going to have to let you go.
Yes.
We're going to have to let you go. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. Your call was very occasional, and I know that
absolutely.
A lot of people, including this panel, learned a lot from you. Thank you. Let's move on. Okay, Gwendolyn? Yep, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm an Aquarius, and I'm very open to all sorts of things. I can't, but I will have to tell the public. We can't have – I've listed them. Flat worlders, vax deniers. I can't have people call in who believe the earth is flat. Okay, I can't have people call in and say things like, if I hold a rock in front of my face and let go of it, it will float in the air beautifully and never fall to the ground. We cannot have gravity deniers call in. Okay, so if you're a gravity denier, I can't. And by the way, Gwendolyn, I think I want to remind you, isn't that the guy that called in 2 years ago? Remember Nutcase, the Nutcase that called in?
I don't
that's him.
Know, but boy.
But do you remember that guy? It was the same thing.
It's nice to have him listening, you know. I mean, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yes, exactly.
The point is, we are discussing someone who is and was on television in front of billions of people last night. And he's a role model. He is a role
yeah.
model. He represents.
I want to bring up an issue because you brought that up, and I was going to tell Craig this, but then he fortunately became so incredibly stupid we could let him go easily. Will Smith has told interviewers that he witnessed his own father's violence to his mother. That he witnessed his father resort to violence. And we have
yeah.
talked about, and other people have talked, black people have talked about, the fact that the cycle of black men being violent in front of their sons sets up a situation. And what I want to reiterate is that this was the most shocking thing for me about this whole experience of this thing, was the number of women of color who defended Will Smith and chimed in
yeah.
and said, that was one black star, a woman who was at the Oscars on the red carpet last night, said it was the most beautiful thing she had ever seen. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, that was.
And yet,
yeah, that was kind of that was hard to take. That really was.
Well, what,
especially
and last
when the
night
first
on
Oscar
E, the E
given
channel.
Last night.
Right.
The first Oscar
the E channel
last night
had that
given.
Panel of four women. On, or was one of them a transgender? I'm not sure. I don't think Laverne Cox was one of them, but there were the four women sitting there commenting on the red carpet and then all of the Oscars and everything. They concluded the evening at the end on the E! Channel with, or Bravo, whichever, they congratulated Will Smith on doing that because he was, quote unquote, I'm sorry to say this way, defending his lady. Now, the problem with, quote-unquote, defending your lady, first of all, it's the 21st century. Secondly, she was not being physically attacked. There was no physical interaction there. There was no one was defending their lives. And defending his lady symbolizes one thing that I find appalling, that women are still chattel. It symbolizes that we live in a white glove, slap your face. You know, it's funny, Turner Classic Movies on this past week had both Gone with the Wind and Jezebel, movies that are which have dueling and the whole thing of like, I'll thank you not to mention my lady's name in your sentence, sir. You know, it's like, what are you doing? We don't live like that anymore. Women are three-dimensional, dynamic people. And last night's Oscars were celebrating not only women and people of color, but women of color and deaf people. It was like we were going completely. We were doing the whole smorgasbord of people who are other than white, straight, middle-aged men with cigars in their mouths.
Well,
we have branched into this world. Go on, say.
The first Oscar went to a woman of Latino, Caucasian, and African-American descent who was out and about queer, just absolutely queer.
There you go.
Said so when she accepted her Oscar, and a beautiful, beautiful woman. And, you know, to have Will Smith completely, you know, dunk that symbolism into the other end of the lake. It just as you're saying, Sybil,
exactly. I want to bring Wayne in, but I just want to say one last thing. It was interesting because it was as if we had built a stained glass window that was massive, that was 400 feet high and a quarter of a mile long, and we had built this stained glass window over the last couple of years, but especially last night, of color, of diversity, of gender, of transgender. Like, we're not even sticking to the liberation of women. We're going to the liberation of men who've chosen to be women and women who've chosen to be men. All of that. And we went on and on and on with Oscars and messages and things, and children are watching, and it's international. And then one of the dinner guests at the end of the evening, not at the beginning, at the end of the evening, celebrating his own award, he's arrived, he's up on the stained glass window, and he's up there not for a comedy, oh no, not for some piece of fluff, he's up there about a movie about a father of color who raised his two daughters of color to be dynamic women. Arbitrarily, he didn't need them to be tennis stars. He wanted them to be happy, powerful, enabled women, right? And this man, who was going to get an Oscar for this story, this amazing story, managed at some point, right at the end of the dinner party, to throw a brick through the stained glass window and bring it down. It was like, oh my God, I don't know how he went to the party. I don't know how people didn't walk up to him and throw their drinks in his face and say, you're a symbol for children are going to look at you and say, oh, that's the solution. If you don't like what someone says, go up and punch them. Go on.
Yeah, it's horrible. It really is. But you knew I was going to mention this. The whole evening did end on a really beautiful note with Gaga and Liza. You know, it did.
Yes, it was lovely. It was lovely that she, as a superstar, was being so patient and gentle with, you know, poor Liza, who is definitely, you know, struggling. That was lovely. And there were other lovely moments. But, again, the headline of the evening will be. And half the country that is – we are heading, the three of us, as we know, are heading to an election that could be appalling. Appalling. Mm-hmm. And we have Putin lovers – who are running and are going to run successfully in their districts. We are going to have Putin lovers in office in a few months. And we are living in a really, really edgy time. And I'm just wondering who is man or woman enough to take Will Smith aside by the swimming pool during the pina coladas over the next month or so and say, you know something, pal, I'm just going to tell you right now, you need to make out a check for $1 or $2 million to a general election fund. You've got to do something because you single-handedly, in a moment of pique, in a moment of silly, childish pique, went up, slapped another person in the face, who then turned around and was gracious, kept his poise.
Yeah.
And you did it over nothing. You did it over nothing. Even if he had said terrible things, you don't do that at a major dinner party. The Oscars is our answer to royalty. It's America's.
They are
the royal Americans. That's our royalty. Is entertainment people, pretty people, wealthy people. That's our version of royalty.
There are archetypes. They're the gods and goddesses.
Our archetypes.
That
exactly.
We looked, and he represented, and the fella on the phone represents the opposition to anything other than one archetype, which is basically a white male with a beard on a throne that tells women to shut the fuck up and slaps anything it doesn't like down.
Let's bring Wayne in. Let's bring Wayne in. Wayne, you take the floor now. Give us your perspective on all of this.
Well, obviously.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And, I don't care. I mean, I have been thoroughly raging anger pissed in my adult life. But I have never gone up and punched them in the face, even though I thought they totally deserved it. I, as an adult, kept my calm, my demeanor, and my respect for the environment and the situation that we were all in. And I'm talking like
you were a gentleman.
Political aspects. Yes, that's right. My mother raised me. I tell people, God rest your soul, my mother raised me as a true Southern gentleman, the good kind.
Exactly. Well, and more than being a gentleman, Wayne, you're the A word, an adult. you know, it's lovely to be a gentleman, but in this day and age, it's wonderful to even have the solidity to be an adult. What he did was he did that in front of his own son, and Jaden immediately turned around and defended his father, which means that Jaden has been taught now that it's okay to go up and slap someone in the face.
Yeah.
Go ahead. That's what black men do. They do that. That's what your father, and your father has denounced his own father in public. He said, my father used to do that, and I was forced to watch that, and it was a terrible thing to see my father. It's like, but no, they're shaving the roast beef on that. His father did it to his mother. So that was wrong, but Will Smith is doing it to defend, quote, his lady. It's like, oh, dear God. It's just like,
but you know something?
The women who defended Will Smith should remember that when a man does that in her defense, violence then is an option for anyone who misbehaves. So God help you, Mrs. So-and-so, if you misbehave because your husband may decide that you need to be slapped. And, of course, as we know, slaps lead to punches. Punches lead to a broken jaw. Broken jaws lead to you banging your head and dying. I mean, it's like the cycle of violence was laid out. There it is. Whatever. Wayne, I want you to keep going. You take the last 10 minutes of the show. You go on.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Well, again, pretty well we have covered this. Like I said, I have stood toe-to-toe, face-to-face, with those who blatantly, intentionally, because of profit, were polluting water aquifers that I knew people personally who were poisoned from their wells, their own wells, because this vile company decided to dump all kinds of toxic waste, hexachlorophenol. Hexavalent chromium. Any hexavalent chromium is totally toxic to any living thing. and all this.
Well, that was the whole issue with Aaron Brockovich, was
that, well,
that incident of the whale wells being poisoned, yeah.
Well, to give you to elaborate on that, those whom I were with, and we had this situation coming down, the same lawyers that she was dealing with came down and talked with us. They asked us, what do you want to get out of this? Do you want to get money, or do you want to get them shut down? And
right.
I'll say very proudly that those who I was with in this whole situation said, we want them shut down. He says, you have to
right.
do it politically
yeah.
then. It has
yeah.
to be done politically.
Yeah.
And then this is when, this is how we first started working with. Dyson was a congressman from our district, and Wayne Gilchrist ran against him on a Republican ticket and joined us, basically said, yes, if I can get elected, I will pull the government, the EPA, all the resources at our disposal into this situation.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that Wayne Gilchrist, we got him elected, and he did exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, he was a very honorable man. Refused to take any special interest money. And he was in there for several years until the teabaggers, the Tea Party, gained control within the Republican Party. And they brought in Andy Harris, who was nothing but a corporate stooge, and beat him out in the Republican primary, and now is sitting up there. He's the one carrying guns now into Congress. He is a total, total Trumpster.
Yeah. Well,
see, this is just more division. It's more division. And, you know, I have to say, in just one little thing that I did notice, I noticed that this was very definitely something between Mr. and Mrs. Smith. But mm-hmm. I also think that you have to remember how Will Smith was sitting there. Whatever's between him and his wife was on his mind. And also, how would you be thinking if you were sitting there for the first time in your life, you know, getting nominated for an Oscar? I mean, he must have been just in a whole other world altogether, and then to have the knee-jerk reaction that he did. I got to say, I'll bet that this full day has not been what he expected it to be, especially taking home the statue.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, I give him this much credit. I think he's probably very ashamed of himself.
I want to say that they could have both. Everyone could have fixed it instantly. It could have been fixed
yeah.
instantly if he had apologized to Chris Rock and everyone, as opposed to the Academy and then making that strange veiled comment about I'm defending this and I'm defending that, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, that's not the apology that could have saved him. And then he could have still saved himself if he had apologized backstage at the party, before the parties even started, when the curtain came down and the news cycle came on at 11, if he had immediately gone to Chris Rock mm-hmm. and said, Chris, I'm so sorry, and had all the cameras come around him, and they were shaking hands and hugging and laughing as two bros, you know, oh, bro,
yeah,
and doing
yeah.
that whole thing and doing it there, it would have completely diffused the situation. The headlines the next morning would have been spat, ended, you know, cute, these two are superstars, millionaires, and they make up, and look at the pictures of them laughing, and Chris Rock, you know, grabbing Will Smith's Oscar and pulling it towards him, and them, you know, laughing and riffing. It could have been fixed. They did not fix it. Jada did not fix it. No one fixed it. And that's the problem, is that there was a moment there over and over again that it could have been fixed. It could have been fixed today. It could have been fixed in this last hour. They could have fixed it right now, but they are not fixing it. And as one comedian said, well, you know, Oprah is going to horn in now and get the two of them together and invite them both to come to her house in Bel Air and blah, 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 blah. It's like, really? So a black woman has to be the arbitrator between these two giants. So you have to have colliding millionaires, billionaires. What? What? Over a squabble? Your wife's feelings were hurt?
Right.
It's just nonsense.
Sir, 30 seconds.
Yes. Thank you both. I'm sorry we lost the whole show to this, but I love you all. You've been listening.
Go ahead. It is all good.
You've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, and thank you both for being on the show tonight. Thank you.
Sybil, darling, it's a pleasure.
We'll see you all next week. Good night.